Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could all be with us. This is one of those rare weekends we don't have communion at either service. And just a reminder again that it starts making a little more sense again starting next month. But first and third Sundays of each month is when we, as long as we're just having the one service, first and third Sundays. And then starting in August, we'll be able to go back to second and fourth Saturdays because the calendar will actually agree with us again for that. No matter where you're sitting, which side, all you need to do is look towards the stained glass windows on the floor on your side, or if you can peer over to the other side, that's fine. From the very beginning by the door to almost the very back, it's nothing but shoes. Unbelievable the response that we have had from God's people. The last count that I had was 134. It might be more by this morning, but we're going to be doing this for one more week, but only one more week. Now, we found out a circumstance last night where now we are going to be sending shoes to five schools, not just four, which, of course, kind of divides down even more the number of shoes that each school gets. But it also kind of gives us a goal. If let's assume we are at 134, I'd like to see a minimum of 150. That's 30 pairs of shoes to each school. It still, in some ways, when you say it like that, it doesn't sound like much. But boy, every pair of shoes that they get is needed and is certainly they're most grateful for those things. So we're going to be doing kind of ascending at both of our services next weekend. So let's get all of that wrapped up for the shoes and the socks and the undies. And also, I sent one in an email, and there's another one that's back on the table. This is a different list. This is from Sunray Elementary School, a supply list. Now, this is one of those things where you do with the supply list as you see fit. There are way too many things covering way too many grades, and these are usually the sort of things that parents or whoever are responsible for getting, but there are just some people we do understand that are not going to be able to get that. So we just, if we fill in, we fill in some things, we're going to be sitting, we're going to be a part of a couple of schools' special events, and we'd like to be able to show them that this is part of what we're more than willing to share. So please help us with that. Next weekend, actually on Saturday, from 7, there's going to be a car wash from 9 to noon. If you go out, it's out in Massachusetts, actually where it says, as you go out Massachusetts, when you get the little road, Massachusetts turns into Decubilus. Right at that corner, there's a 7-Eleven, and our teams, our CIA, are going to be there from 9 to noon, putting on a car wash. And so right there at the corner of Little Road and where Massachusetts and Decubilus come together next weekend from 9 to noon. Please support our CIA, because now they're kind of, we have officially moved less than a year to the National Youth Gathering up in Minneapolis, a big event for them, and we want to be able to support them in any way that we can. We now have a date for a fall rummage sale. It is Saturday, October 13th. We have two sign-up sheets that are back in the in our fellowship area. One, if you would like to have your own table out, and then another is just a sign-up because we're going to need a lot of workers. Even if a lot of what you can provide, there are things you can't do anymore. There's always things, especially if you've been doing those in the past. Somehow or another, some of the expertise that you have are the kinds of things that we're going to need to be able to do that. So please do check that out. There's going to be a lot more coming through regarding that rummage sale here in the weeks to come, but we'll let you know about that now. So please let us know that you were here with the Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. We want to remember in our prayers for this morning, Mr. Robert Ferguson, he's still at the same facility he has been at. He has been converted now to hospice care. And so we want to keep him in our prayers. Ivo Christopher had to go back to the hospital yesterday. Still some complications from some surgery that he had earlier this week. But the surgery, by and large, was successful. So they're just working through some issues. And then Barb Goodhue, I believe, is having surgery this coming week. Yes?
Week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow. Well, okay, that's good to know. So, okay, so we always pray for the continued help of God's people here in our congregation. So, our fathers. As you are able, please stand. Our order of worship this morning is traditional morning prayer. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. I will declare your greatness. Now I ask you before God, who searches the heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God by what you have done and by what you have left undone, and deserve his wrath and punishment? If so, then declare by saying, I do confess. I do confess. Indeed, we should confess, for Holy Scripture declares, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do you heartily repent of all your sins committed in thought, word, and deed? If so, then declare by saying, I do repent. I do repent. Indeed, we should repent, as did the penitent sinners. King David, who prayed for a contrite heart, Peter, who wept bitterly, the sinful woman at the feet of Jesus, the prodigal son, and others. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace, for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all your sins? If so, then declare by saying, I do believe. I do believe. Indeed, we should believe, for Holy Scripture declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Spirit, you will from this time forward take up the battle against sin in your life and live that forgiven life in the light of Christ? If so, then declare by saying, I do promise. I do promise. And as you confess, repent, believe, and promise, so let it be unto you. According to his command, I, as a servant of the word and called as pastor of this ministry of word and sacrament, declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Redeemed, restored, ready to serve our Lord. Let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord.
Today's reading from the Holy Scriptures are for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, the Old Testament lesson from the 9th chapter of Genesis. Moses writes, God said to Noah and to his sons with him, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth, I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson from the third chapter of Ephesians. St. Paul writes, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups, by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. May God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to be talking about the gospel lesson for today, but even as I do, remember these words from our second lesson. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Friends, maybe a bunch of you have heard of the term Sunday driver. That's a phrase I don't think they use much anymore, but the phrase Sunday driver, it was originally thought that this was just about those people where the only time they took their car out of the garage was to go to church on Sunday. But in actuality, it had a little different meaning. Especially in the town that I grew up in. A Sunday driver typically were people, and this was usually a good mid-afternoon or maybe a little later, and especially during the time when the weather was warm outside, when people would just get into their cars and just drive around real slowly, maybe to see the sights and the sounds, maybe seeing something they haven't seen before, but mostly things that they've seen before, but not even necessarily having a plan. But if they ever did just drive by somebody and there was somebody out in their front yard that they recognized, well, they would stop and who knows what would happen from there. There would be times when after we would get done with church where still we would have to go out to my grandfather's farm to get a few things done. We were doing far less on Sunday than we did other days of the week. Still, my grandfather, even though he was out in the country, was wise enough to understand that whenever he would have us doing something, it would always be something that was out in front of the house. So that in the midst of some things, here were some people, and if somebody drove by, they would see. Now, they may or may not know who all was there, but invariably, some people would stop. And in the beginning, for the most part, they'd just roll down their windows and start talking. Next thing you know, the car's going in the park. Next thing you know, they're being invited to come out. And next thing you know, it's supper time. Now, my grandmother for years and years had to learn how to always be prepared to share hospitality. And we learned from them that most of the time they had a plan in place, but you almost had to have a plan in place. I grew up in a town where there was nothing that you could get your hands on Sunday. We had some big cities around us, and maybe five of them, but they were all like 45, 50 miles away. We had certain blue laws in the town where the town stores, they were all closed. The gas station was closed. I mean, there was no way to do commerce. And so if you got some surprise visitors, enough that you needed more food, you had to get rather creative. And my grandparents always did. Now, they were, I'll use the term sneaky about it, where one of them, maybe we would go and we would take a look at the garden. Or we would go just check out something that was out in the barn. But while that was happening, one of us was taking us out to look at some of those things. The other one would sneak back inside and get on the phone and maybe call a neighbor or something like that. Somebody that they knew would have something that we could use to kind of help make sure we had enough supper for everybody. If worse came to worse, you would call the person that ran the town meat market. Now, he wasn't allowed to sell us anything, but he could always go in and all you'd have to do is say, this is what I need. And lo and behold, he would show up and he would sometimes come in a side gate, deliver something and just say, look, we'll settle on Monday. And then he would leave and some people would never even know he was there. But it was always important to make sure that there was going to be enough so that my grandparents could be hospitable in some ways so that whatever it is that really needed to be covered, the one thing we didn't have to worry about was making sure that they were being fed. I don't know how many lessons from that some people today, because obtaining whatever it is, doing whatever it is that we need to do, heavens, even in the middle of the night, especially in an area like here, is always possible. But there's a bigger lesson than this, a much bigger one. Because yes, indeed, today's gospel lesson is about feeding the people, but not the way we think. Because from the very moment that Jesus stepped off the boat, and here were people looking lost, like sheep without a shepherd. And while I can only imagine the disciples at least inwardly groaned, oh, there goes our time of leisure, Jesus saw an opportunity to feed people. And so he did. You know, as the gospel lesson ended that Jesus had just where talked about where the people were just arriving and things like that on towns ahead of them, when they had been sent away in a boat, this very well could have started then sometime about mid-morning, which meant Jesus was teaching for hours. And all we're told in the gospel lesson is And Jesus taught them many things. Well, I can only imagine that every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes, whatever the case might be, was going to be like receiving a 9-course meal. Spiritual edification that was going to be as good as anything that anybody had ever received, and things that people desperately needed at that time. Now, I understand the end of the Gospel of John reminds us that there are many things that Jesus did and said that are not recorded in this book, but the things that are in there are the things we need to know. Still, once in a while, I yearn for that opportunity to have Jesus, to just get a couple of those quotes out of the hours and hours that he was speaking. More than likely, some of the parables that are recorded in Scripture were things that he probably told more than once, especially understanding that he was going to be preaching to different audiences in different provinces. And so, but still, everything that Jesus supplies them and that Jesus supplies you is nothing but pure gold. God's precious word, and the same word that edifies us today. The same word that we still have the opportunity to feast on any time that we want. We open up our Bibles first thing in the morning or last thing at night or right after supper. Whenever it is that we do that, here is God giving to us, opening up to us the kingdom of heaven through his holy word. And what a meal that is. Still, something else is brewing. Now, I can imagine kind of how this was working, that as the disciples came on shore, okay, Jesus sees this crowd, a crowd that, by the way, would fill this sanctuary many times over. And he all of a sudden realizes, I've got to begin to share God's word with these people. While he was doing that, my guess is that the disciples maybe were trying to tend to some things and making sure that people could hear, but for the most part, were probably off to the side. And more than likely, especially as the day began to pass, started to whisper them to themselves, what are we going to do about food? Look at all these people. It said that there were 5,000 men there, and the other gospel says plus women and children. So who knows how many thousands of people were there. But however many thousands were there, all the disciples saw was several thousand problems. Several thousand difficulties that, as far as they can tell, they have no solution for. They have no way in their own world of thinking, how are we going to be able to deal with the time when we have to feed these people? Okay, Mike, you can kind of get shrewd if you're talking about a few people, a carload or two, maybe even a couple of dozen people. When you start getting into the hundreds and then, wow, into the thousands, how is Jesus going to deal with that? The disciples did not see a possibility. But we were able to see what it is that Jesus does, because Jesus is able to supply us for all of our needs. Needs that perhaps we didn't even know that we had. Needs that were far worse than some of the things we were aware of that Jesus fills for us. But sometimes Jesus has to bring us up against what would seem to be an impossibility. Because as soon as you see, there is nothing I can do, now you have to look elsewhere. And while there may be nothing that we can do, our Lord and Savior, who came into this world as one of us, who gave his life for all of us, we go directly into his arms. We go directly into his direction. And yes, he has a solution for us. I've often used these terms: what God demands, God supplies. Now, most of the time we're talking about things like, you know, he demands our righteousness, but only he is going to be able to supply it through the death of his son, Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed to save us from our sins. But as you can see here, even when it comes to the temporal things, what God is able, you know, God has built us with bodies that need sustenance. And what is needed, he found a way to supply. Now, how he did it, well, there are certain miracles that we'll never understand, you know, exactly how he does. That's what the nature of a miracle is: using the power of God to do something that we just cannot fathom how he did it. Raising someone from the dead, changing water into wine. But, and as you see these things, you know, you just, when somebody's been dead and Jesus, whether he calls out into the tomb or takes someone by the hand and lifts them up, or has these stone water jars filled to, that are used for ceremonial washing, filled to the brim, and then says, go take some of it to the steward of a wedding feast in Cana. And as they dip in, instead of water, it turns out to be something else. Even if you don't understand how it happened, your eyes can visualize what happened. When it comes to the feeding of the 5,000, I just cannot visualize just exactly what happened here. Except that we had a small lunch from a little boy that we found out in one of the other Gospels that had 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. What would they be like amongst so many? And interesting, it would have to be the lunch of a small boy that he was willing to give. Well, hey, if this is going to help, I'll give this. I can almost imagine some of our young people coming up and saying, well, if, you know, if they've got something and they come up and they offer, but the idea that somehow that's going to feed everybody. Most of the time an adult would want to laugh about something like that, but Jesus wasn't laughing. And he was able to supply people with the things that he needs. And as God asks us to do the impossible, and as he gives us whatever it is that we need, then we discover that what God gives to us is anything but meager. God supplies to us in such great generosity. From 5 loaves and 2 fish, not only was there enough to feed more than 5,000 people, there was more than enough. My guess is each of the disciples had some kind of a basket that they kept with them. And when it said 12 baskets full, well, those are probably baskets that were carried by each of the disciples. So each of the 12 apostles, and they pick it up, and each of those baskets are filled. Now, just imagine, we don't know how big those baskets were, but just imagine how far just the leftovers would go amongst a group like this. When God supplies something, my friends, there is always left over. But Jesus is not in the business of providing what we would call just leftovers. Whatever God supplies, not only does he supply generously, but he supplies in a way that it is the best that we will ever get. There is no other place that you can look for the precious guidance of life and for the precious guidance for everlasting life than the spiritual word that he gives to us. And, well, that brings us to our final point. My message for today is entitled Food Fight. It conjures up visions of apparently when food is in enough abundance. I may have told you a story a few years ago about one of my dear members from Illinois, a lady that was part of it. We had 2 ladies' guilds back in that church, a day ladies' guild and an evening ladies' guild. She was part of the evening ladies' guild, and as they were having their Christmas meeting one year, and they were going around the table, tell us your most precious Christmas tradition. And of course, for some, it was going to be baking and whatever else. And this lady kind of got just a little, boy, do I even want to tell them this? Where apparently, usually around the end of Christmas dinner, the entire family genuinely breaks into a food fight. Then they clean up after they're done, but so be it. But unfortunately, there is indeed a food fight that is about to erupt. Oh, you didn't miss a couple of verses of Holy Scripture here where all of a sudden they start taking 12 baskets full and whatever it is that they do with it. But no, he who just spent almost an entire day feeding the people spiritually, giving to them that shepherd that they had always, that these lost sheep had always needed, and then feeding them physically in a way that is truly a miracle, still, a fight was going to emerge. And this is one of the few miracles that is actually recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here for about the next 3 weeks, we are going to focus on the account from the Gospel of John, which continues after the meal is over. Next week, we're going to start with what happened, quote, the next day. And you're going to see that, indeed, whatever it is that God gives to us, we pray that, even as we are told to be faithful unto death, that we may receive the crown of life, that being faithful is not always easy. Trying to understand where God is leading us is not always a pleasant thing. Putting our trust in God to guide us through the things of life where sometimes we are convinced that we're better off doing it our own way is going to do nothing but bring about food fights. Not the food that perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life. That God gives in his word, that God gives through his son in the sacrament, but that God also gives to all of us as the bread that we need to live eternally. My friends, whenever God provides a meal for us, spiritually, when he is at table with us at mealtime, as he feeds us with his word, as he gathers us closer than ever to him during our time of trouble, may we always be willing to feast on the sustenance that our Savior gives to us, knowing it is the best food in the universe. And now to him, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, now at this time, usually we confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. This morning, we're only going to take a part of that, the first article to the Apostles' Creed, and then we're also going to go through Martin Luther's explanation to the first article. So please stand as we continue in our service. What is the first article of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. We receive our offerings. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. For the work of the Holy Spirit among us, as we receive the precious food that God has given to us in his holy word and in the sacraments, for providing us the truth that we may continually grow in that sustenance, and that we may always remain eager to hear and learn it, to be filled with trust and love in you, and to be turned away from sin and true repentance, helping us to look to Jesus for forgiveness and for daily grace. To do what pleases him, let us pray to the Lord for the church here and throughout the world, that it may constantly confess and proclaim that Jesus is Lord to his glory, that it is indeed him who provides us with all the food that we need, physically, spiritually, and in every other way, who gives to us in such great abundance, but who provides to us the things that we need for this life and for the life to come. Let us pray to the Lord. For the nations of the earth, that they may always work together in peace, that the hearts of men everywhere may be turned from war and wickedness, that our country's leaders may work so that our liberties be kept safe, our laws upheld, injustice is suppressed, and lawlessness is punished. That all honest and useful work in industry, agriculture, education, science, the professions, the arts, and all other vocations be upheld, and that in our prosperity, we never forget the goodness that you share with us in such great abundance. Let us pray to the Lord that the sustaining food of the words of our Lord Jesus be treasured daily in our homes and everywhere, that we may follow him who truly is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we look to him during times when we are praying for or dealing with sickness, suffering, poverty, bereavement, loneliness, being handicapped, unemployed, or any other malady that struggles with our relationship to others and especially to you, that we may look to your powerful love, and that as we have lifted up before you many names on behalf of our church, that we now lift up before you someone in our own life that is in need of the comfort and strength you give to them, that we now name before you in a moment of silence. That they and we may always turn to you in praise and thanksgiving, blessing your holy name, let us pray to the Lord. These and all other prayers, hear and grant for the sake of Jesus, O Father, who together with you and the Holy Spirit lives and rules one God forever and ever. Amen. We now sing the words of the Lord's Prayer. We close in prayer together. Almighty and most merciful God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, dwells in our hearts by faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit, enable us to grasp how great is your love for us, that we share it with all your family, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us bless our Lord. Go out into the world in peace, have courage, hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak. Help the suffering, honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. Friends, during the greeting of peace, I was given a quick update that our number has now increased to 140 pairs of shoes. We have one more week to add to that number. I can't wait to see just what that final number is going to be next week. So one last thing about the script program. This is the fifth Sundays. There will be nothing with script, no orders and no pickups. But then from now on, orders first and third Sundays, pickups second and fourth Sundays. So friends, go in peace and serve the Lord.